Welcome back to Soccer Cards United. It's episode 166 of the greatest soccer card podcast in the world. My name is Jason. That's Enzo. Hi, Enzo.
Hello, Jason.
It's Thursday, the 8th of June, and we're back with another edition of Soccer Cards United.
Back again.
Anything to announce? Any important notices to any members of the audience or the Soccer Cards United community before we start, or should I crack on?
I don't think there is. I don't think we have anything new to say.
Oh, we have our SGC sub.
Oh, yeah, but I thought that was part of the show.
That's not in the show, no.
Oh, well then, I'll do a quick one for the camera, just the two main ones.
So for people that don't know, we had our trade night in Dublin.
There we go.
And we accepted, Enzo accepted SGC and PSA submissions. And you're under a lot of strain there.
No, I was just trying to pull them up. The two Maradonas that we picked up respectively in, I believe, Germany and London.
Yep.
Were graded. So these are the 1979-80 Panini Calciatori Maradona. So the Maradona with like the yellow name border.
Mm-hmm.
One of them got an SGC 2 and one got an SGC 1.5. We obviously didn't have high hopes grade wise with these cards.
Yes.
But just getting them in a slab, kind of legitimizing them, making sure they're authentic, all of that, really, really cool. And then a Gianluigi Buffon rookie sticker from his Parma days in 1995. We got an SGC 4.
Which, I believe, he's still playing for Parma.
Crazy. Longer than I've been alive. He got an SGC 4. Well, I was a bit surprised with that. I thought it could have been a bit better, but ultimately it was just a rookie sticker. I got it really, really cheap at a Dublin trade night. The Dublin trade night. And I just said, it'll look nice in a little slab. And then, of course, there's a big array of other people's stuff here that I'm not going to show because they themselves haven't got their grades yet. I don't want to spoil it for them.
But if you are one of those people who has sent off the cards via Soccer Cards United, they're back in Dublin.
Yeah, we'll be organised. That collections probably won't be doable till Monday, but we'll organise it.
Okay, you expect news
today
about but don't rush.
Don't rush. Don't be worried.
Don't worry yourself.
You should have the email before you have the podcast. How about that?
Right. So that's that. Now, Hobby HQ today is actually starting with a football story.
Wow.
Because sometimes you get hobby stories that break across into the football landscape, and sometimes you get football stories that you think, okay, this is actually genuinely a standalone hobby story.
Mm.
And that, of course, is the announcement that arguably the greatest player of all time, current World Cup champion, Lionel Messi, is moving to America.
MLS.
He's going to the MLS to play in Major League Soccer for David Beckham's Inter Miami.
Whoa. And it's official.
That's official. That's confirmed. I can confirm that now if you haven't had that confirmed to you yet.
Crazy.
Yeah. Crazy like, stuff.
He turned away Saudi Arabia, which is kind of the craziest part of it, because it was definitely like a battle of power almost going on between the Saudi League and every other league in the world.
Yes.
So for Messi to have gotten a huge offer from the Saudis and still chosen to go stateside instead.
Mm-hmm.
It's a huge coup for the MLS and American soccer.
Yep.
And Beckham.
And David Beckham, who, of course, as part of his move back in the day to LA Galaxy, was given the opportunity to purchase a MLS franchise. And then when Inter Miami finally came to fruition, 6 years ago, Messi recorded a video message for David Beckham, which said, congratulations on the new franchise. Hope it goes well. And who knows, perhaps in a few years, you'll be giving me a call.
Mm.
And 6 years later, he did give him a call and he also gave him a big contract. And now Messi's heading to Miami, where he already owns a home.
Okay.
Convenient. This is an interesting one because the actual first time that I heard it kind of, what would you say? Not confirmed, but like the kind of the... Basically, confirmation was on what day is it? Is on Tuesday night, when a Florida journalist, Caden DeLisa, said, "Scoop! Inter Miami CF will be announcing the signing of World Cup 7-time Ballon d'Or winner and 4-time Champions League winner Lionel Messi within the next week to a 2.5-year contract pending medical and visa." So then we had that on the Soccer United Twitter. So yeah. I was like, "Oh, this is happening," and then the next morning, Guillaume Balague, who for a long time in our part of the world was like the...
Spanish expert,
said, Messi has decided his destination, Inter Miami, which of course, that kind of confirmed it. And then later on that day, Messi himself announced that he was heading to Inter Miami, and it all became official.
It all became very real.
It all became very real very quickly. And the exact breakdown of Messi's deal, because of course the question is, how was he able to turn down the
Saudi deal?
The Saudi deal, because that was like $1 billion for 2 years or whatever, or 4 years, still, whatever. And basically, it comes down to the commercial element. So as part of this, Messi is going to get a cut of the profits from Apple TV's MLS subscriptions. So that's potentially huge, because Messi, of course, himself will be
bringing a lot of subs.
Will be bringing a lot of subscriptions, yeah. So, and also, he is apparently getting a cut of Adidas's
jersey sales.
So he's basically said, I could go to Saudi Arabia and I could get a guaranteed upfront payment, or I could go to the MLS, become the face of soccer, and bet on my commercial
revenue
over the next 30 years. You know? So it's absolutely massive. What was your reaction when you heard this news, Enzo?
I was shocked that he didn't go to Saudi. I really thought the Saudis, they seem to have put a proper plan together, and they're executing and signing. I don't know if it's in this, signing everyone.
Yeah.
I think they've locked up Kante.
Mm-hmm.
They're approaching Riyad Mahrez, Gundogan. Who else did they got? Benzema, of course.
Yeah.
Ronaldo, of course, prior to that. So they were kind of going for the juggernaut. It seems like they just have the checkbook out, going, let's build up this league really fast. And it very much seemed like Messi was a huge part of those plans, especially after the kind of endorsement of Qatar and stuff like that. So for him to go MLS, to be honest, I'm surprised. Inter Miami was always kind of mentioned as a potential destination. There was always this thing where both Ronaldo and Messi, even though Ronaldo can't go to the States, there was always this thing of, will they retire in the MLS? Will they go to the MLS? This, that, and the other. Now, Messi, the one thing I would say is I feel like he's still very much at the peak of his powers.
Yes.
He's not...
It's not a retirement league.
Yeah, he's not finished. He is... Again, it's that thing of, he's done so much for so long. He won the World Cup, so it makes sense to want to kind of... Like, he has nothing to prove, basically.
Yeah.
I wouldn't go as far as to say what the Barcelona statement said. I don't know if you've seen that one, Jason.
I didn't read it.
They took a little slight at him. So okay. It makes total sense that he wants to go to a league with no pressure and no stress. He's done enough. It was a bit of a backhanded compliment. People weren't happy about it. Because they're obviously very sad they didn't choose Barcelona. But yeah, it's a shock. It's one more reason to watch MLS. It's going to remind me. I hope he can have the kind of impact that Sebastian Giovinco did in his heyday. Because that was quite...
Another little playmaker.
Quite the thing to watch.
Yeah.
You put a big man up front with him.
Big man, little man. There's been talk of the likes of Sergio Busquets, Luis Suarez, and Jordi Alba joining him in Miami. Currently, Inter Miami are the worst team in the league. Just sacked Phil Neville. And we were just days away from Lionel Messi training managed under Phil Neville, which was...
Maybe that's why he was sacked.
A tantalizing. They were like, we can't have you, coach.
No.
They're talking about former Barcelona coach Tata Martino, former Mexico coach as well, coming to coach Inter Miami. And it's quite extraordinary. Obviously, the two precedents are David Beckham coming to LA Galaxy, but more importantly, probably Pele going to the New York Cosmos back in the NASL days in the 70s. Of course, that league ultimately collapsed.
Yeah, let's not forget Zlatan.
Let's not forget Zlatan.
That's actually really interesting. A lot of people are saying, do you think Messi could do what Zlatan did and just kind of go to the MLS for a couple of years and still then go back to Europe and do something, potentially, if he wanted to?
I mean, of course he could. I mean, he had offers from Europe.
Probably Man City.
Yeah, I mean, I think I read a couple of reports that said he had offers from the best couple of clubs in the top couple of the leagues. So basically...
Everyone.
Everyone that was anyone was like, yeah, we, because it's like, yeah, you have to shop them around just to see what, if anyone's offering
crazy,
you know, things. And it's like, yeah, we take them. Obviously, going to Miami, it was always going to be Miami or Los Angeles in terms of a big enough Spanish speaking community that Messi will feel
welcome,
completely at home. He has a house in Miami already, he's been there many times, as I say. It's quite extraordinary. Resale tickets across the MLS flying up in price. And I think, in terms of the soccer card hobby, this is
huge.
This is, I mean,
just brilliant.
This is just this is like incredible. This is like our, you couldn't get any better than this, basically.
No, it's ideal. You know, he's just done
it's ideal. Yeah,
it's ideal. Like, he just did the World Cup in the winter.
Yeah,
won it, dominated it. Everyone's seen that. and now he's coming to your league. Like, that's the kind of, there's not a big, and then for 2 years he does this, and now he's coming to your league. It's like, yeah. You just did all, you just seen all that.
Yeah.
And now he's coming to play in Miami. It's crazy.
Now you can see him in person.
And I think it's going to be like a lot of celebs are going to be all over Miami for his games and stuff like that. It's going to become completely a bit of a cultural thing as well. It's going to be great.
Yeah, cultural.
It makes sense.
Phenomenal.
Shed and just, yeah.
Because it's all moving towards the 2026 World Cup.
Yeah.
You know,
which he could be a part of, perhaps.
I think moving to the MLS will extend his international career because he's not going to be, he's not going to have to necessarily choose.
Yeah, yeah.
Between, you know, between yeah, Champions League football and football for Argentina.
As you said, it's like we're building up to 2026 and this adds to the momentum.
Yes, completely.
He's in here. He's building the hype. He's doing so much stuff.
Yeah.
Did you see the 2026 World Cup logo?
I saw you tweeting about it, yeah.
Yeah, but I'd never seen it when it released. Did you see it when it released?
No, I saw a different one I thought was like a totem pole design. But then I saw this other one, which is like the redesigned Juve kind of vibes.
Terrible. Yeah, but that was released a month ago. I reckon we were in a different country doing something. I don't know what we were doing when that dropped. We missed it.
Yeah.
But yeah, terrible logo. But apart from that, everything else looks to be going very well for the 2026 World Cup.
It's just, I mean, it kind of cements, in terms of soccer cards and like the hierarchy of soccer cards, I think this is it for Messi. Like, we're kind of like looking at Messi and Ronaldo's
comparative prices.
And I think Messi just leaves Ronaldo in the dust now.
To win a World Cup and then move to the States?
Yeah.
Yeah. You short know, term anyway.
Short term anyway, but I mean, maybe, I don't think this is, I mean, this is the kind of thing, if he makes a go in the MLS and delights audiences around America for 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
That's the kind of stuff that just sends you into the stratosphere. I mean, like, the reason that, you know, people talk about in America, talk about Pele and all that is because there's a strong cultural memory of Pele playing for the New York Cosmos. People might not know that's why they know him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And there's also, but like, there's also a similar build. Do you know, it's that yeah. kind of thing that has kind of followed them throughout their careers. It's like, you look at Ronaldo and if you say he's the best soccer player, you're kind of like, makes sense. He's a big machine.
Yeah, he looks like an incredible athlete.
Yeah, makes sense. But Messi is this kind of thing, you see this little guy.
Yeah.
Especially, you know, American sports, your basketball players, your NFL players, these are big, your hockey players, these are big guys. So if you see this little guy,
mm-hmm.
and you're like, all right, let's see, well, what's all the fanfare about this? Why is this guy getting a cut of Apple? Why is he getting a cut of Adidas? What's going on? And then you see him delighting and whizzing through people and making them all look a bit amateurish.
Mm-hmm.
It just, it, as you said, delights.
Yeah.
Could be crazy.
It's incredible. I think that's an important point on like just the builds and stuff like that. Like, Messi is, by nature of his stature, watching him play football is like, it's a very romantic story. It's like, look at him. Despite all of his
shortcomings,
he's brilliant. You know, he's not like, doesn't look like he was a robot built in a lab to succeed at this sport. He's good in spite of himself, kind of thing. So this is all very exciting.
I'm buzzing.
Absolutely fantastic.
Like, imagine, obviously, and there is the story arc, of course, of they're bottom of the league, now Messi joins.
Yeah.
What happens now? Will he have the kind of impact Robbie Keane had on the MLS? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either.
But
Here's an interesting one. I was just reading an article here on The Athletic about Messi going to the MLS. And it says here at the end of the article, simply having the best player in the league isn't a guarantee of success on the pitch. In fact, only 2 of the last 14 MVP winners played for the eventual MLS Cup winners. And that was Robbie Keane in 2014 and Joseph Martinez in 2018.
But like, the MLS is just a difficult competition though. The way it's set up,
it is a difficult competition. You got, you know, playoffs, what I mean? You got the whole lot.
It's like saying the best player in the world doesn't win the Champions League every year. Obviously not. It's a cup competition.
Yeah,
anything can happen.
But it's Messi, some will say. However, history has shown that one individual alone cannot conquer MLS like an NBA superstar might. Take Beckham for example. He joined LA Galaxy at a time when an MLS team's best path to contention was to build through an American college soccer system. He had a worthy attacking ace in Landon Donovan at the height of his powers, but he still didn't win the MLS Cup until his 5th season. Thierry Henry joined the perennial contender in the New York Red Bulls and didn't even make it to the MLS Cup final. Zlatan was irresistibly prolific in front of goal during his 2 seasons with the Galaxy, but MLS remains the only league in which he's played without winning a major trophy.
Yeah, but that's it's the thing. It's a mix between, it's a cup competition, and it's a mix between, you can't win it as a single player. That's not the game. So like, Messi needs, that's why I kind of joked and said he need a big man up front. Like, Messi can completely and utterly cause a winning MLS Cup team.
Yeah.
But he needs to have certain profile of players around him. He needs, obviously, a Busquets would be unbelievable in the mid. Yeah, he needs someone in the, maybe Busquets still past it, but he needs someone in the midfield with a bit of iron. He needs a decent defense, decent keeper, and he needs a big. He needs a target man up front, I think, or someone that can probably, like Suarez back in the day.
Needs a finisher.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's no point in playmaking if the fella you're playmaking for can't put the ball in the back of the net.
Yeah, that's it. That's it, isn't it?
That's it, isn't it?
But so, as we kind of seen, can I just say,
yeah,
with Sebastian Giovinco and with Carlos Vela, those style of players, tricky, good dribblers, good passers of the ball,
yeah,
have the most success at MLS, I think, because for the most part, that's like, just, I don't know, just Giovinco obviously had Altidore up front, but it's like, if you have the ability of taking the ball yourself,
yeah,
and running around and doing it, like Ibrahimovic was unbelievable in his time there, but he very much wasn't the dribbler.
Yeah.
If you don't have someone that can set you up, you need to be able to do it yourself, kind of a thing. Like, that's why Joseph Martinez was so good. He could still run with the ball.
And score. He now plays for Inter Miami.
That's the kind of player Messi will go. He'll be, there's a top goal scorer.
Yeah. Very exciting stuff. So, obviously, they're not in a great position at the moment, Inter Miami.
Their stadium's not fantastic.
No, they play in an 18,000 seater capacity venue that's also supposed to be the home of their reserve team, and it's in Fort Lauderdale, not in Miami. So they are supposed to be building another stadium, but that's due for, I think, 2025.
But like, that's a lot of people are like buzzing over their season tickets that they have for that, because the price just went up.
Yeah, people. Very exciting.
Everyone's going to want to watch Messi play.
Absolutely,
love to see it.
Love to see it.
You love to see it.
And I actually have just remembered that I'm potentially going to Florida at the end of this year. That has just occurred to me now, live at the podcast.
Sounds very what's the word? Convenient. Good luck getting a ticket to that.
Good lord. Alright. So that's that. Now, with all of that messy stuff going on, there was a huge hobby transfer story that was flying under the radar, which is Jude Bellingham has reached an agreement with Real Madrid to transfer from Borussia Dortmund. Jude is going to Real Madrid.
What a midfield generation they're building.
Oh my God.
Camavinga.
Could he be the world's best young right back? Camavinga on the left, Bellingham on the right.
He could be. They did that to Fede Valverde for a while, didn't they?
Yes, they did.
Whoa.
Real Madrid have reached an agreement with Borussia Dortmund to sign Jude Bellingham. Madrid are set to pay Dortmund in excess of €100 million. It'll be one of the highest transfer values in the history of both clubs. The deal is not yet signed, but it's okay, very, very exciting.
Dortmund selling a young player for €100 million is about as Dortmund as it gets.
That's Dortmund heritage. What's your feeling on this?
Great. Classic. It's kind of funny, like, when he moved from Birmingham to Dortmund, that was kind of like similar to Messi going to the MLS someday. It's like, that was like, people are saying it like, you know, if he does well, he might go to Liverpool, Real Madrid or City or something.
Yeah.
And that's exactly, the arc was fully completed.
It's quite interesting because it's, you go to,
I wouldn't fancy it if I was him.
I mean, he's only 19.
Yeah, but like, Real Madrid, you're coming into Real Madrid at a period of maybe their biggest success in recent years.
Well, just after.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
It's like, if you're not winning Champions League back-to-back, you're a failure. You're going to be remembered as, he wasn't great.
Yeah, it's going to be, we had this incredibly successful period, then we had a transitional period, we got in Bellingham, that didn't work, moved on Bellingham, brought in somebody else. You know,
so no matter what, unless he just keeps winning Champions League, it's going to be classified as it didn't work.
They have to click. It has to click into place.
But it is, you know, building the next generation, I suppose.
I think 19...
He's too young to make that jump to Real Madrid. Could be.
Yeah, I mean, look at what was Luka Modric doing when he was 19? You know, what was Toni Kroos doing when he was 19? They weren't getting €100 million transfers. Like, there's a reason why players... I just think this is a whole unprecedented level of
ascendance.
Of young players coming to the fore. And I think we don't know what they're all going to look like in 10 years' time in terms of, like, are they even going to still be playing? How can they maintain their level? Why should a 19-year-old be worth €100 million? It doesn't seem like...
I kind of get what you're saying. I mean, right now, his, like, the midfield kind of partnership potential is obviously Camavinga, Tchouameni, and him.
Yeah,
I don't know if that works as a trio.
Mm.
I mean, obviously Camavinga plays left back, Toni Kroos and Modric are still kind of in the mix, but yeah, they're on their way out. I don't know.
I mean, obviously they've signed in Camavinga, Tchouameni and Bellingham. They've looked around and got the, you know, three of the best
midfielders in the
young
world.
Midfielders. They're looking, they're going, that could be our midfield sort of for the next 15 years.
Potentially. I mean, they might be saying, if one of these works, we're grand.
Yeah, true.
Maybe.
Who knows? In terms of Jude's hobby prices, what do you think happens now?
Hard to tell. You'd imagine they go up. I've seen someone who owned the 101 Sapphire who bought it thinking he was going to Man City for some reason, and he wants to sell it now
because he's going to Real Madrid.
Yeah, he's like, I kind of bought this as a Man City fan expecting.
Yeah,
it's a bit mad. Imagine the luxury of buying a 101 Sapphire rookie.
Pretty incredible stuff.
On the kind of, he might do this.
One thing I did notice, I put out a couple of tweets and stuff about this, and people were replying with an unbelievable
amount of fire,
and that kind of, it was other people's point, was that if you look at the amount of Jude Bellingham cards there are, 2 million rookies, 2 million rookie cards,
yeah,
so many patch autos, 101s.
Because he fell into that kind of period of peak hobbiness,
yeah,
hobby hype, which was also matched with peak hobby production, and he happened to be in two different Topps products. Under three different Topps licenses. So
yeah,
they had him under Bundesliga, Dortmund, and Champions League.
Mm-hmm.
So that all kind of, and he was English, so there was so much hype about him already, yeah, as well by the time he was at Dortmund, that there was a lot of production of a lot of stuff. But like, that happens. Like, if you look at old NFL players, like they have, or basketball or whatever, they have lots of variety of rookies as well.
True.
As you said, it's harder to move the needle when that's the case.
Yeah. I mean, like, in terms of this transfer, it can't, I mean, I know I'm saying, like, maybe it's not a great thing, but that's a general point. Like, that's like a general thought on the trend. Specifically, this is like the best transfer. This is Real Madrid.
Yeah.
You're going to Real Madrid for maybe the second most valuable transfer in their history after, I think, Eden Hazard. Like, you're 19.
The only thing is, maybe this is a bit football heritage of me, Jason.
Yeah.
It's kind of, everyone's like, oh, you should have probably went to the Premier League for a couple of years and then went to Real Madrid.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because, like, what do you do after Real Madrid if you're, like, there's not a lot of players that go from Real Madrid to somewhere else and then pop off.
No.
Do you know?
That's it. I mean, this is the risk of going, if you leave Real Madrid out in the, you know, as the kind of carrot in front of your nose, which a lot of players do, ultimately one day I'd like to play for Real Madrid or for Barcelona as well, they said a few years ago. Like, you can kind of always have something to aspire to. Now it's like you go to Real Madrid, but maybe it represents the changing of the tides, you know.
You might think, go to Real Madrid and then I might get signed for City.
Exactly. If I do well at Real Madrid, there are bigger fish, you know.
And there is also, let's not forget, there is the looming Saudi Arabian fund. Someone said that, like, do you think we need to be concerned now about young players that were on a prospect potentially just getting snapped up by the Saudi league? And obviously then maybe getting less attention and their prices not moving.
Yeah.
Which could happen. Like, we've seen it, like, maybe Oscar back in the day. He was at the kind of, I don't want to say the peak, he's not amazing with whatever, but he was at the peak of his powers in terms of his own calibre at Chelsea,
yeah,
and then moved to the Chinese Super League.
Yeah.
Never really heard of him again.
Oscar is a player who, at the time, if it was now, people would have had a lot of Oscar rookies and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then he goes to China, disappears into Shanghai, and that's the last you ever hear of him.
You never see him again.
I think that's a cautionary tale. Luckily, it looks like the Saudis are targeting veterans.
That's how you start, though.
That's how you start. And yeah, I think, I don't know, but this is massive. Like, the Jude, we called, like, I mean, so long ago called that year the Jude class.
It's happening.
Could have been, you know, what do we call it, Pedri, you know. And then he goes to Real Madrid as a Dortmund hero, almost a big Dortmund legend, but
not quite.
But he joins their 100 million club. Shocking.
Yeah,
should be going there, a league champion.
Yeah, basically. His whole arc would have been a lot better.
Yeah. He got injured at the worst time.
Yeah.
And I see a lot of injuries in his future. But anyway. So yeah. So
that's Jude.
Messi, Jude.
Big movements.
And we're also getting a look at Chrome for the first time. So Champions League Chrome. We haven't heard of Dicky Bird about Champions League Chrome for ages.
Yeah, the season is officially finishing on Saturday.
Yep. And we're just now hearing about Champions League Chrome for the first time. So there's a Zidane autograph, different to the Panini Zidane autograph.
Mm.
Not just because the
it's the right way up.
It's the right way up. It actually it doesn't say Zidane like that on the.
Maybe it won't on that one. Maybe that's just an image.
Oh, that could just be like a concept.
Yeah, we'll find out.
Mm. We got Hobby. We got Hobby Light back. The design, similar enough to last year. Looks like to me. Another debut of new parallels, color match to 99, which is a partial parallel for just 25 players.
You see, partial parallel.
Yeah. Meaning only part of the checklist get it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. 25 players.
25 players. Hobby parallels, they go up to 399. Okay, 399, 250, 225, 199, 175, 150. 25 subjects have 99. Of 75, of 52, of 50, of 50, of 30, of 25, of 10, of 5, and of 1. There's also base hero variations. Enzo, you had some thoughts on this Hyunmin Son card.
I didn't love the face.
Yeah.
Kind of looks like, you know, when they, those ads where people have like tights over their face to rob a bank.
Yes.
That's what that kind of looks like.
Mm.
But I like it, like kind of a comic book style, as it says there. So they could be cool. Just don't like that one.
So there's your base card. There's your color match. There's your one we were just talking about. Jude Bellingham, Jamal Musiala.
Jule Otto.
Someone said, is this the first time you've ever seen a Jule Otto on a Chrome card?
In soccer, I think, yes. I think.
I think so. What about the Barcelona? Does that have Jule Otto?
Yeah, but I mean, it does. But I mean,
same like, season.
In Champions League Chrome.
Yeah. Yep.
Or UEFA Club Competition Chrome, should I say.
We got some legends there. Erling, speaking of designing Erling Haaland in a lab, there he is in the kind of like a test tube thing.
See, you couldn't put Messi in there.
No, you'd say.
Maybe you could.
You'd say, let's throw that one out.
Yeah. It didn't work.
Wonder Kids design here. That's a good that
looks very Panini.
I was just gonna say that.
What's the pink one called? Gravity.
I can't remember.
The globe.
Joga
Bonito's back, but I don't see an image here.
Youthquake. You've heard of Earthquake. This is Youthquake, this insert.
Young people that make a big shake.
Yeah.
Big impact.
There's Messi.
There he is.
Zidane. And then there's
people are very excited at the prospect of a Messi in MLS product.
Oh yeah,
it's going to be class.
Very, very good.
If only MLS Renaissance was coming out, or sneak him in,
or do something.
Take Gary Speed out of it and put Messi in.
Yes,
there's an idea.
For God's sake, take Gary Speed out of it anyway. So that's Chrome, and it's out. When is it out?
27th of June.
So
very soon.
So just a nice. 2 and a bit weeks after the Champions League final,
we'll get that crown.
You get your, and it is UEFA club competitions, as you say, Enzo.
Yeah, a bit of all.
Which means Champions League knockouts are only Champions League product of the year.
Maybe. I don't know if that's accurate, but maybe.
Hmm. So Chrome at some point we'll see Chrome.
I'm excited to see what Merlin looks like this year.
Merlin Chrome.
Yes.
Oh. I think we're always excited. But to
like
see
one of its biggest selling points was being an UEFA club competition basically product.
Yeah.
Now that's not the case, so we'll have to see, Jason.
We'll have to see. As always, we'll
keep you posted.
Keep our eyes peeled. Here's a kind of a bit of gossip, bit of hobby gossip, a bit of hobby legal carrying on. Do you have this press release in front of you, Enzo, from Upper Deck?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Would you like to read it to the people?
You want me to read the Upper Deck?
Yeah.
The full whack.
The full whack. Give us the full whack. We don't have to say about Upper Deck, but the full whack of it.
Everything. Okay. Upper Deck sues Ravensburger over stolen game. And we're not talking about jigsaws, people.
Mm.
Carlsbad, California.
Mm-hmm.
Upper Deck. The worldwide leader in sports and entertainment. I don't know about that. Maybe they don't. Sport, I don't know. Let's read it again. The worldwide leader in sports and entertainment games and collectibles. Sues. I don't. Did they release this?
Yeah.
You can't call yourself the worldwide leader of sports and entertainment. I mean, games, I suppose. Maybe you can.
Who knows?
And collectibles. Sues Ravensburger and a previous Upper Deck game designer for stealing and copying Upper Deck's original game, which Ravensburger repackaged and marketed as Lorcana. That is shocking.
That's shocking stuff.
We invested significant time and resources to develop a new and novel trading card game. Our current leadership values the importance of protecting intellectual property of both Upper Deck and its licensors.
Mm.
Said Upper Deck president Jason Mashara.
Yeah.
We want gamers and fans to continue enjoying and having access to unique, innovative, immersive trading card games, he added. We encourage competition in the industry, which someone disagreed with. But we also strongly believe in playing by the rules to ensure gaming community benefits from the different creative choices by each manufacturer.
Right.
Known for popularity, popular titles, sorry, including Legendary and Versus System, I don't know all this. Upper Deck is a leading producer of trading card games, has a long history of developing original games, and is a trusted licensee for some of the largest brands in the world.
My God.
Including Disney, I believe, in the States. Craziest thing about this, there's a lot of crazy things.
So just to sum that up, so Upper Deck, card company, who also make trading card games, suing Ravensburger for
Disney Lorcana, which is a new upcoming set to be released trading card game.
This is more Disney stuff.
More Disney.
It's the year of Disney.
This is an actual trading card game. And that's from a Disney Expo, I believe, Jason. So there's a few early release cards that were made at a Disney Expo, special edition kind of thing.
Right, yeah.
But August is the expected release date for this thing. They fully broke down and showed their product line. You know, they have booster boxes, they have trainer boxes, they have different kind of setups or whatever, different versions of stuff, the way you'd kind of find with Pokemon or Magic the Gathering or whatever. Mm. So they fully launched and they had a full game dynamic, fully created, fully kind of being leaked. And I have two things. It's like, this is coming out in 2 months, or is set to come out in 2 months.
Yeah.
Is this a very strategic Upper Deck suing to just literally let them build up as much momentum as they can, let them invest as much money as they can, and then kill them?
You're saying that Upper Deck didn't just discover this?
No, but I'm saying, is it that? Is it like strategic and spiteful?
Yeah.
Or
uh-huh.
Is it a case of just now the game dynamics have come out and they're like, hold on a minute, this is our game?
Oh.
I don't really know. But it could have potentially huge implications. I feel like the most likely outcome could be a payoff. I'd like to think Ravensburger at all costs do not want to scrap this project.
So just for clarity, There was a guy who was working as a lead game designer on a new trading card game within Upper Deck.
Mm-hmm.
He then left the company.
Or was fired or was headhunted, I don't know.
Something.
He no longer worked there.
No longer worked there. And then the game emerges in a Disney skin.
Yes.
As Disney Lorcana. And
just madness.
And then Upper Deck say, hey, that's our thing.
That's our game.
That's our game. But yeah, you're right. How do they know the game's... I don't understand. How could they know the game's exact mechanics without the game being released?
No, but maybe they've been releasing little bits and little tidbits.
Oh, I see.
That's what I'm saying. That's why the suing might have come so late, because they needed to know.
Yeah, yeah.
But also, like, from Lorcana's point of view, can they not alter the game a bit?
Mm.
Change the rules. Surely the rule book can be just... changed.
Have you seen Ravensburger's response?
No.
Good lord, I just got a big shock. This is from comicbook.com.
When did this get dropped? Yesterday?
Yesterday. Ravensburger has responded to a lawsuit over its upcoming Disney Lorcana card game. Earlier today, Upper Deck Entertainment announced they are filing a lawsuit against Ravensburger and game designer Ryan Miller over Disney Lorcana, claiming that Miller had worked on a game that was nearly identical to Disney Lorcana for Upper Deck before leaving in 2020 to work on Lorcana. In part, Upper Deck is seeking an injunction to prevent Ravensburger from releasing Disney Lorcana in August, potentially spoiling what is likely to be the biggest tabletop launch of the year. When asked for comment, an official Ravensburger spokesperson told comicbook.com, Ravensburger has not been served with a complaint and thus cannot speculate on potential legal matters. We at Ravensburger stand behind the integrity of our team and the originality of our products. Which is strange that they said that, because a 19-page complaint was provided to multiple websites by Upper Deck stating that the lawsuit was filed at the Superior Court of California. It is noted that a case search did not pull up the lawsuit, although it is possible the court had not processed the complaint yet. So, Ravensburger saying, I never heard about that. That must be fake.
It must be fake.
So, listen to this. The lawsuit claims that Disney Lorcana is virtually identical to a game called Rush of Ichor. Citing Disney Lorcana's starting hand size and the use of keywords and certain card abilities, which you probably see from the Disney Lorcana's Inkwell, in which players put cards from their hand into a pool that can be used to summon other cards into the field of play, is also allegedly similar to Rush of Ikor's Influence Zone, which uses a similar summoning mechanic. Holy smokes. The pre-release cards made available at last year's D23 have sold for thousands of dollars on the secondary market, and the launch events at Gen Con sold out in minutes. Wow.
Wow.
Did you ever play like a tabletop game like...
Yu-Gi-Oh,
right, okay.
Does that count?
I don't know.
It's a card game. Maybe it's not a tabletop. Well, maybe you need little pieces. But I feel like a tabletop card game.
Yeah, I think it can be a card... Yu-Gi-Oh is a card game.
Yeah, Yu-Gi-Oh.
Yeah.
It looked cool. I was kind of interested in it, but I didn't really know.
Yeah.
I like the images and whatever. But do you not think like the original, like the starting hand size, can Lorcana not come out and be like, it was 5 and now it's 4?
Well, I suppose in that case you'd be admitting,
I know, but like, is it not,
you'd
like,
be admitting liability?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, it comes down to there's a former employee in there and there's a lot of similarities. I think that probably has and legs to stand on.
They probably had a non-compete clause in their contract.
Maybe.
Or it's also in, and this is, apparently this is different in different countries and in different contracts. If you create something while you're working for a company, in some jurisdictions the company owns all of everything you work for while you're under contract. That's relevant. That's even remotely relevant to the area.
Yeah.
And in other jurisdictions, they don't own anything. So, bit of gossip there. We did a bit of legal gossip.
Bit of madness.
Who knows? We'll keep you as posted on that.
Yeah. Right, move on to your football week, although there's not much to talk about because the season is winding down, so the releases should start up.
Most of the football week ended up in Hobby HQ with big transfers.
Did you get a chance to see Fiorentina versus West Ham United in the Conference League final?
I watched the replays, that's it.
Okay.
I got the highlights. I didn't get a chance, Jason. I was busy.
That's, I completely understand. I was there, popcorn in hand.
Wonderful.
I love the Conference League. I'm a Conference League ultra. It's just better.
Who are you rooting for pre-game? Nobody, just a good game.
I didn't know. I didn't know who I was rooting for. Because, yeah, I don't know. It was a mad game. The first half, very, very scrappy. Christian Baraghi, the Fiorentina captain, got his head cut by plastic cups.
Crazy.
Which nobody seemed to be talking about how exactly that happened.
Yeah, I seen the blood. I thought it was glass.
Yes, it was plastic, and everyone's going, absolutely disgraceful from the West Ham fans to be throwing plastic cups down at the players. I'm like, I'm sorry, how did he just cut him with a plastic cup?
From a far away.
Yeah.
If you can do that, you have talent.
What's going on? Yeah.
As I'm concerned.
Now, I thought maybe they might put like heavy stuff in the cup.
Yeah.
And use that as a projectile, because obviously the wind would just catch it otherwise. But no one seemed particularly interested in the mechanics.
Of what happened.
So, yeah, it was nil all at half time. Then Saeed Bermama scored a penalty, and then Jack Bonaventura, who we have a signed Fiorentina kit of,
oh yeah, of course we do,
levelled it up.
That was a good goal.
It was a very good goal,
very good goal.
And then Jared Bowen with a pass from Lucas Paquetá,
broke me heart to see that.
A brilliant run.
His unbelievably high transfer fee is just paid for.
There's your 50 million.
Yeah.
There's your 50 million.
He just assisted a winning goal in a European Cup final. What more do you want?
And you can have those two little bastards on Soccer United sitting there sneering at his 50 million pound transfer fee, but ultimately he's paid for it. And they can keep that little podcast. That's what they're going to be saying in West Ham this morning.
Oh, I hate him. He used to play for Milan.
So anyway, went to West Ham. Their first trophy in 40 odd years. Declan Rice, only the third West Ham captain to lift a trophy, I believe.
We can say once again, the Conference League was genuinely a good idea.
A brilliant idea. A brilliant idea.
You know, like, there was a lot of abuse, and like, they're always trying to add extra games, but add extra games to the teams that don't have extra.
Exactly.
Games. It's brilliant.
And
give them a trophy to play for in a world where Man City and the likes are dominating everything else.
Yeah.
It's brilliant.
Yeah, and the David Moyes, 1,000 games, more than 1,000 games, the manager, is his first major trophy. I was delighted for David Moyes.
Delighted.
And I put on Twitter, I am inexplicably delighted for David Moyes. I don't know David Moyes. I've never met the man.
He's never managed one of your teams.
Never managed one of my teams. And yet, I think I've just watched so many David Moyes games.
Moments. And struggles.
And struggles that I'm just like, yes, David Moyes. Well done.
Get that trophy, build on.
Get that trophy. Go into your Europa League next year. Have a few trips around Europe. Enjoy yourself.
He deserves it.
You deserve this one. So congratulations to West Ham. Commiserations to Fiorentina. Then quick check in with the Under 20 World Cup.
Oh yeah.
It's now the semi-finals. And here's one for you. No matter who wins the Under 20 World Cup now, it'll be that country's first time winning the Under 20 World Cup. Something like 11 of the 22 times they've had the tournament has been won by either Brazil or Argentina. Both of them got knocked out earlier, even though it's in Argentina, and Brazil had the best squad in the competition. And it's now Uruguay versus Israel in one semi-final and Italy versus Korea.
Oh wow!
In the other semi-final. Korea were runners-up, I think, the last time this tournament was played. Italy, the strongest team left.
Let's go.
With the top scorer, Cesare Cassetti.
It's nice to have an Italian that can score goals.
Yeah. He wears the number 8 as well. Quite interesting. I think he's got 6 goals and 2 assists. He's quite the player.
Is it?
So
I remember getting smashed in one of the youth tournaments against Spain back in the day.
That made you sad?
I think it might have been Seoul scored the winner in the final. Mm. Maybe. Might have been the Euros.
Never really kicked on.
No.
Not quite. Israel are kind of the surprise package of the tournament. They knocked out Brazil in extra time in the quarterfinal.
Oof.
Uruguay are just Uruguaying their way. I don't think they've conceded a goal yet. They've only conceded 1 goal or something in the whole competition. They're in the semi-final. And Korea are looking accomplished as ever. So, if you get a chance to watch it, they're all free to stream.
Yeah, I'm going to try and catch FIFA that semi.
Plus.
Bit of football for myself. 6 hours on today.
Yeah, it's on today. So, if you listen to this after the day of release, you missed it.
No, I think I can watch this.
For the listeners aren't getting this, but the viewers are getting an absolute treat of Enzo's various facial expressions and body language.
Oh, no.
He looks busy.
I'm a busy man.
Okay, listen.
Listen.
That's it for Soccer Guys Tonight, episode 166. We're back on Monday with episodes 167. Have a great weekend, everyone.
Thanks, Jason.
And, okay.